We are going to move into the service quickly because all the time is going. And I had a long message. Hallelujah. So a short prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord, that we know that as we come to your word, Lord, you fill us up with your anointing and your power and your direction. And so right now, Lord, we are going to do your word to receive, to hear, and to appropriate everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. So, I'm going to do a short review a moment here because, the word says, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means all the other activities that we do mean nothing if we don't have faith. We need to have faith to be able to actually get anywhere in the things we do for the Lord. So, on that basis, you should say, well, it should be a topic that everybody talks about, and that's not the case. And there are reasons why that happens. Lots of people are turned off by so-called faith message. And this is what the devil does all the time when the Holy Spirit brings about a new message to the church. The Holy Spirit gets people in the ministry that are fleshy, and there are plenty of them, that use the truth to distort it so that people get turned off from the truth and they are come to be cut off from that. It happens all the time. Even when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, the enemy infiltrates and then there are things that happening that are not right and people get turned off about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, the gifts are misused and people get off the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is really hindering and stopping God to achieve his purposes. The same thing with, what more basic truth about discipleship? Jesus discipled his disciples. That's why they're called disciples. Well, lots of people, you talk about discipleship, they just want to touch it because, there was in the 70s, people went off a tangent for that. Just because, something goes wrong doesn't mean that you throw away the baby with the bathwater. You have to discern properly the proper things and keep the good and throw away the bad. But that doesn't happen because people are fleshy and they respond to fleshy things in fleshy ways. There is nothing more important than to teach about faith. Because people need to understand how to operate in faith to please God. If you don't please God, you have no relationship with him. You can go through all the motions. It means nothing. So, you see, this is, I don't shy off from dealing with topics that people don't like. Because it's the truth that counts. It's the truth that sets you free. It's not what is accepted or not accepted by lots of people. Okay, so we need to understand some basic issues about faith, and they are not easy to understand necessarily. They appear simple on the surface, but when it comes to application, it's a completely different story. And the reason why it's not simple is because our flesh tend to not like spiritual things. And because it doesn't like us about spiritual things, he's going to reject them. And we don't have to fall into that mistakes. Okay. The understanding of faith has to be built brick by brick, piece by piece. Okay. And otherwise, your foundation is going to be weak. And when you got hit by the enemy, you are not able to stand the attack because you fall into the flesh, you fall into the things that are really not working. So, first of all, it's important to understand that without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's the number one thing. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, there are three things here that are critical. First of all, your relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God without faith. Because faith is really trusting and believing God. What kind of relationship you have with somebody that you don't trust and you believe not believe in? So you can't. It's just a farce. Okay. Second, okay, how can you trust in somebody that you don't have faith that you believe in? You cannot trust him. So there is no, see, that's the basis of our interaction with him. So you have to have, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. That's the third element, which really, you know, you can expect God to respond to your approaches to him, to his, your relationship with him. If you think that God is up there, doesn't care about what you do and what you say, and he's just there trying to get you when you do something wrong, forget it. You are not having a relationship with him. You are trying to run away from him. So, this is God. See, God requires that we have faith so that he can have a relationship with him. Otherwise, we can't. Okay? And the enemy tries to do everything that he can to mess up our relationship with him. Because he cannot mess up with God. But we can know how to mess up with us. Because we fall into the traps that he puts for us. Okay. So we had to learn that. That's the first thing that we have to understand. Faith is important, it's critical, it's basic. Without that, you cannot be a Christian. To that point. Second point is that faith comes by hearing. Okay? So, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That shows two important things. Okay. Actually, three. Okay. We must believe. To be able to have faith, to be able to get anywhere, you must believe that the Bible is the word of God. That you can trust the Bible, because otherwise you cannot trust God, you cannot trust anything, because that's the basis for you. That's your contact point with God. So you have to believe that the word is true, is trustful, and you can base on it on yourself. All right. So that's number one. So, you know, without believing in the word, you know, many people, even in the ministry, don't believe the word these days. There is no way that they can even be saved. If you don't believe in the word, you cannot be saved. Because your basis of your salvation is what the word says, and there is no other basis. So you had to go to the word with the proper understanding, the proper attitude. You had to go to the word as we respect, knowing that this is God speaking to you. And as he speaks to you, you had to take seriously what he tells you. Now you have to understand it properly. Because there are many things in the Bible that you know, need to be understood before you can apply them properly. See, there are parts in the Bible that were written for specific situations that were happening then and do not necessarily apply to today. There are other ones that are general application. See, you people make the mistake that take a statement from the Bible and makes it a theological point. You have to have two or three scriptures to base any theology that you create from. You cannot take just one thing and make it your rule. Because that one thing may be applied to a specific things that does not apply to you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So that's number one thing. So faith comes by hearing. So that means, you know, that number one, you have to have heard, you have to have been exposed to the word. You believe the word and you are exposed to it and you believe what it says. You believe that you have the proper understanding too. Because it's not just anything you want to believe, you want to interpret works. God meant only one thing when he wrote something. When you write something, when you say something, you mean what you mean, not something else. But that happens all the time. You know, I say stuff and people say, you know, you said that. I never said that. Just because they interpret something that I said, maybe was said in a way that could be misunderstood. But, you know, it's what I said that count, not what they interpret me saying or interpret the word saying. Okay? Finally, you see, you must believe, not just believe, agree with it. You must believe it with the heart. That means you have to really believe that at a deeper level. Not just mentally agreeing with the idea. Okay? That may be the beginning. So, but the important thing to remember, that because God expects us to have faith, it would be unfair if he would expect you to have faith when you cannot do something about having faith. And he gives you the tool, the means to have faith. And the mean and the tool to have faith is to go to the word and allow the word to start changing you the way you are and the way you think. So he has provided the way for so that you can, if you make the decision, to be transformed, to be changed, and to be able to receive what he has for you. I mean, faith. Are you following me?
Yes.
Good. All right. So, third point. Faith is not something that is vague and misty of, you know, is something very practical. Faith should produce results. If it doesn't produce results, it's not faith. It's something else. Okay? The idea is that, you know, to produce results, there are things that have to happen in the person exercising faith. Okay? There are things that need to happen that you had to do for faith to be manifesting the results. Okay? And so in Romans 10:9, said it very clearly. Okay, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, the idea there is simple. The idea there is rather simple. Okay? There are things that you need to say or do, okay, and believe at the same time. Believe not superficially, but believe with your heart. See, that applies, that sentence applies for salvation, but salvation includes everything that God wants to do with you. Includes forgiveness of sins, includes deliverance from bondages, includes healing, includes anything, financial help, anything that you need down here that, you know, maybe that you are struggling with, that you need to overcome, he provided through salvation.
Amen.
And so he wants to do that in your life. But you have to exercise your faith. You see, it's not faith, it's not passive, it's active. It has to, requires action. Requires that you do something with it. All right? So, again, here, there are three things. There is believing in your heart that what Jesus has achieved. See, because, you know, believing that Jesus, you know, died, was raised from the dead and everything, you know, you need to understand everything that took place there, both physically and spiritually. The impact, the consequence of what he has done. Then you have to believe in your heart what is achieved, and then you have to accept him in, as a Lord in your life. You see, he's the one producing or creating the rules in by which you work and which you exist. So he has to, you see, well, you have made a choice when you declare him Lord or you believe, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that you believe what he has achieved and what he has done and you submit yourself to him, making him Lord Jesus Christ, your boss. And then doesn't stop there. It's not it's just something internal. You have to speak it up. You have to act it out. You see, if you believe something, you are going to do something in agreement with what you believe. Otherwise, you are not believing it. You believe something else. Okay. So, see, God, first of all, expect you to have faith. Second, he provided the way for you to get faith. Third, he provided the source for you to have faith, which is actually what Jesus did for you, so that you have the basis to have faith, and so the whole thing is packed up and prepared for you to operate in and to benefit from. This is God's desire for to bless you and to help you and to bring you freedom. See, this is the manifestation of the love of God to us. Now, the key here is believing with the heart. That's where the problem often happens because we are not used to operate at the heart level. We are used to operate at the mind level. We are trained to think at the mind level. We generally work that way because that's the way we had to relate to the world around us. But this is not the world around us that we see that we are dealing in this situation. Faith is not physical thing. It's a spiritual thing that is true in the spiritual dimension. So as to relate to what? To the spiritual world. But because relate to the spiritual world doesn't mean that it is limited there, because the spiritual world has an impact and effect on the physical world. So when we talk about believing, we are not just talking about we agreeing mentally with what, you know, with the words. It means that we really, truly, fully believe in what the word says, and that we apply it completely to our life. Okay. That means if we apply completely to our life, we are going to speak and act accordingly. Okay. Not only that, but there's going to be an effect on us in terms of the way we feel about things. Our emotions are going to be affected by the belief that we have. One of the manifestations the faith is in operation in us is that we have peace and not turmoil. That we have confidence instead of fear. So when we have turmoil, when we feel pressed, and when we feel all these other things, we have moved out of the dimension in which faith can operate and we are operating in the flesh. Now, we said, you know, there are some enemies of faith. I mean, there are things that, what's an enemy of faith? It's something that stops the results of faith to be manifested. Or stop something that stops faith from operating in the first place, because that's the beginning. And the, you know, and that fact, that thing there was unbelief and doubt. Okay, we talked about unbelief. There are two types of unbelief, we said. You know, one is because we are ignorant. We don't know the proper things, the proper ideas, and so we have wrong ideas, even if sometimes we believe that those are, we have, that's faith, is belief. The point is, unbelief is always belief. I mean, you believe something that is wrong. It's not that you don't believe the word of God, you believe something else. Okay, so that's one of the things, when it's ignorance or sacred cows, the way you want to call it, because some things, you know, Christian beliefs, you know, they're really not true. They're false doctrine, and people just believe it because that's been a common preaching and understanding. That doesn't make them real. Doesn't make it because you believe it is going to produce result. God is not backing up any sacred cows. Okay. But the other one is, the other one is the, you know, believing because of the deception of the devil. Okay? That really you don't, can be persuaded, although you can see it there, but just your heart doesn't respond to the truth. And you choose to believe something else, even if you see it there. Well, that is really complete rebellion against what the Word of God says. Okay? Then there is the other thing, which is doubt. Doubt is not unbelief. Doubt is a situation, you see, the word that is used there actually is translated doubt, but really in the Greek there often is wavering. I mean, the implication of doubt that there are two beliefs from which you move from one to the other, you never can settle yourself for any. When you are that way, that means you are double-minded. The Bible talks about being double-minded. And if you are double-minded, James says, you know, that you will get nothing from God. So that's evidently is going to stop your belief, the results of your belief, results of your faith. Okay? So that's going to kill any of the things. Evidently, that is against what God wants you to do. What you have to do in this case? Well, when it's ignorance, you have to find out the truth. When it's, you know, wavering, well, you have to make some decision. You're in your mind. You have to go to the Word of God and dip yourself in the Word of God until you get settled in the truth. See, in James chapter 1 says very clearly, let not that man suppose, verse 7, that you receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his way, and that applies to women too. I mean, we are the same. Spiritually the same. And we need to realize that when we have to recognize when we become wavering, and we have to learn to do something about it. And not necessarily easy things to overcome, because there is a reason because we are weary. It's that we have not settled about some truth. That we don't know the truth. We are confused. We are exposed to different ideas. And we don't know really what is the truth in that situation. And we have to go to the Word so that we get our mind renewed. So that we start thinking the way God thinks. And we can settle one thing knowing this is what God says, and I'm staying there. It doesn't matter what. So, you see, God is fair. He provided the way. He expects us to, you know, to connect with Him, expect us to be in a certain way, expect us to have faith. He's provided the way for us to get faith, and has provided the way to overcome anything that comes against our faith. But there is a part we play that has to do with the things we do to get to that place. And the thing that happened is actually a result of decisions we had to make. There are decisions that we had to make by which we choose life instead of death. We choose God instead of the enemy. We choose the truth instead of the lies. And the only way to do that is go back to the Word. The Word is the source of our truth. You know, in John chapter 8, verse 31, said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, didn't say to everybody else, he just said to those there, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word know there is not just a mental knowledge or understanding. The word there is gnosko, which actually means to have experiential experience of the truth. The word is used, you know, to people when they get married, they know each other. So there is actually a physical part of that knowledge, which actually comes even with the word when you start applying it. You see, this has to do actually an application, a physical application in which your body gets involved. So that you have experienced the truth beyond your thinking about it. Okay. So, destroying the truth. That means doubt, destroying the truth. How to destroy the doubt? Well, with the truth. The point is, it's not that easy all the time. There are a different component or different elements that comes into the picture. You know, let's read from First John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and this we know, that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him. You see, when, what I said before, one of the manifestations that we are in faith, that means we are in the truth, is the fact that we have peace inside. There is no confusion, that we are not wavering. So that means that we are persuaded, that we are sure. Okay. We shall assure our heart before him. We are not questioning, you know, is God accepting us? Is God okay with me? You know that God has accepted you and that you are in a relationship with him because there is a relationship. Okay. So, assure our heart before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Okay, so he goes even beyond when, you know, he can help us through even in when the heart condemns us. And he has provided for us even in that case. And we are going to see it in a minute. It says, you know, and whatever we ask when we are, you know, assured that our relationship is okay, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing to his sight. This is really repeated all the time. Now you say, well, you know, that's a pretty difficult thing to do always the thing. That's why he provided a way for us. Okay. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. You see, I mean, this is reduced to a very simple set of rules. Now, believing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means that you believe in what he has done and everything else is involved with him. So it's not just involves really a knowledge and understanding on what he has achieved. Okay. So, and he, okay, let me repeat this. And this is our, you know, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. As he gave us commandment, Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him and he in him. And thus we know that we abide in us and the spirit of him who has raised us as well. So the idea is this, you see. We expect us something quite simple. To have a relationship with him, to believe in what he has done, and to love other people in the things we do. Okay? Now, if you are born again, that means that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is true. If 5:17 is not true, then 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not true. You're not born again, and you better get born again. Otherwise, this doesn't even apply to you. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now all things are of God, and reconcile himself to him, to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Now, this is the basis. You see, that's the relationship that is there. Because our desire is to, you see, we made him Lord of our life. All things that change, so the desire that we have is to really to serve him and to do the things he wants us to do. Amen. This has to be the basic desire inside us. So our effort, our direction, our decisions, everything we do is going to be determined by this objective that we have. And that objective that is there is the manifestation or the evidence that we are born again. If we don't have that desire, we aren't. Okay. That does mean that we are not going to make mistakes? No, that does not mean that. We can still make mistakes. We can still be tricked into doing things that we shouldn't be doing. So, well, you know, if that happens, we lose everything. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You know, we still can sin even after we are born again. But the thing is, sin is the result of unbelief. It's because we don't believe what God said about something. Or we make a choice not to believe at that particular time. And because we made that choice, our relationship with God, our fellowship with God is affected. You see, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. How to keep our fellowship with God even when we sin. Because who does never sin here? All right? We are human. We make mistakes. We are deceived sometimes. We just react the wrong way. I mean, you can add things to the list. They say, are you born again? Absolutely. See, this is, 1 John is talking to believers, not to unbelievers. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, is talking directly to believers and said, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You see, how do you get your joy full? But when we are in the relationship with God, that is in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So you see, if we are going, doing in the darkness, doing the wrong thing, God is not in us at that particular moment. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So you see, here he's talking about with believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. And he said, you know, if you are walking in darkness, born again believer walking in darkness. You're not talking, you're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and with one another. And his blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. So you see, when we realize the normal thing that should happen to a born-again believer when he sins, that his conscience should condemn him. He should feel, I blew it. And this is what the indication that is really the intention or the commitment that he has with God is that you're going to repent right away. You are not waiting for tomorrow over that. He says, Lord, I missed it. Sorry. And that is enough. That's what all God expects from you. You don't need to go around flagellating yourself because you blew it, because everybody blew it. Everybody does it. But you have to repent. Because if you don't repent, nothing happens and you stay, you break the fellowship with God. And if you can keep going that way, you are going to break more and more the fellowship and your heart is going to be becoming insensitive to his cause. Says, but if we confess our sins, you know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why does he cleanse us? Because we recognize that that was wrong and we go and receive the blood of Jesus covering for what we have done, and with the blood of Jesus washes away the things that are there. You know, there has to be that repentance, because it's a decision that you don't want that and you are rejecting that. Are you following me? See, that reestablishes the relationship with God. And because that relationship is with God, you are back there. When you make a request to God, we pray to God, he listens, and you get the results. You sin, confess, stop it, and move on. Don't drag it with you forever. God has forgotten it. You better forget it. Because it doesn't do any good to you to remember it. The least you think about it, the better it is. You think about what God has done for you. I think I may have to stop here. I wanted just to say something else. You know, the devil is going to come to accuse you for the thing, because you still have the memory. You have to learn to resist the devil. See, that's the resisting. It's not that you resist the accusation that he is bringing against you of things that you have repented. Because they are washed away. God doesn't even remember them anymore. He said, I will remember your sins no more. So if he doesn't remember, why should you? Are you better than God? Are you holier than God? So you have to resist and he will flee. That's his trick. That's the way to keep you off fellowship. Because if you still are focusing on your sins, you are going to break the fellowship again. And you empower what you think and what you focus on. And with that, we're going to close for today. You get anything?
Yes.
All right. Let's ask that what we share may help you to apply and to develop overcoming faith in your life for all the different areas that you may be experiencing. Remember, the source of the answer or the problem is the Word. You go to the Word to be filled, to be strengthened, to be empowered, and to be directed. All right, Father, thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can walk as righteous child and children and sons of God. Lord, that we can walk in victory over sin, sickness, and everything else that tries to attack our life. The Lord that you promise to strengthen us, to help us, to empower us, Lord, with your abilities that are far beyond our abilities to overcome. That we cannot overcome in our own strength, but in your strength, Lord, we are already overcomers. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen,
amen.
And amen. God bless you.